You're listening to The Philip Jordan Show.
What's up, everybody, and welcome in to this Friday edition, actually recording on a Thursday evening, but a Friday edition of the Philip Jordan Show right here on Wiregrass Daily News. I'm your host, Philip Jordan, in studio host and producer, Little Football on 96.9, the legend, and I'm the Auburn writer for Last Word on college football. On today's show, we've got a fun show. We're going to be talking LSU football, LSU spring football with Zach Nagy. You can check him out over at Sports Illustrated, where he's the publisher of LSU Country. We will talk about Jaden Daniels as an NFL draft prospect. I want to ask him, has the Alabama-LSU rivalry taken a hit since the retirement of Nick Saban? Will it mean as much between those two when they do see each other on the football field? Of course, we will jump into spring practice, everything going around the LSU program. Staff changes, particularly on the defensive side of the ball, Harold Perkins, Garrett Nussmeier, a bunch of cool stuff to talk about here on today's show with Zach Nagy from LSU Country over there at Sports Illustrated. You can check out the Philip Jordan Show podcast over at wiregrassdailynews.com or wherever you get your podcasts. If you're on Apple Podcasts, please follow, rate, and review. Leave a review, and I will read it on a future edition of the show. And if you leave just 4 stars, you are just a straight-up hater. You can email me at sports.philipjordan@gmail.com. All right, everybody, as promised there in the open, I am joined by Zach Nagy. He covers the LSU Tigers, all thing LSU. Very busy time right now for LSU athletics over there at LSU Country on Sports Illustrated, where he is the publisher. And Zach, I appreciate you joining us for a few minutes. I know, like as I said, a busy time with LSU athletics. Just so many things going on right now.
Yeah, man, it's a really hectic time right now. Baseball's in full swing now. Conference play obviously starts this weekend. Yeah, women's basketball, men's basketball is kind of, you know, we'll see if they make the NIT tournament. But yeah, man, really busy time right now with especially spring football, which is what we're going to be hitting on here today. So I'm really excited to get it going. But like you said, man, 100% agreed, super busy time.
Yeah, and of course, I brought you on to talk LSU spring football. They got that going right now. You know, and I was thinking about today, I was kind of mentally thinking about how we were going to do this conversation. You know, right now, it seems like almost LSU football, when it comes to spring, they're kind of under the radar a little bit, because I feel like within the SEC, everybody obviously looks at Georgia. I think Georgia and Texas, for a lot of people, will be the favorites going into next season, just all they got coming back. Of course, everybody's still talking about Alabama because Nick Saban retired and all that stuff. And then Ole Miss is kind of like, once again, the darlings of the offseason. We get that in the NFL. Seems like we're getting that in college now, especially with the portal. Do you feel like LSU's kind of, not being disrespected, because LSU's one of the best brands in college athletics, college football, but a little under the radar during the spring here?
Yeah, I could completely roll with that, because like you said, Ole Miss absolutely crushed the transfer portal, and Lane Kiffin and company just dominated with everybody that they brought in through that, you know, little free agency market. Alabama's always going to be a national brand, and like you said, with Nick Saban retiring, they're going to be getting a lot of headliners, a lot of stuff going on. But and then of course Georgia goes without saying. But in my opinion, yeah, LSU certainly is a program that you could say is kind of a sleeper right now, a program that's not getting as much national attention. And that can be due to the fact that they took a very light approach to the transfer portal. They were extremely selective with what they went through. And, yeah, you lose a lot of offensive weapons like Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas. So, you know, you lost a lot of firepower in that aspect. So it kind of loosens the media attention. But I think LSU is going to come out with something to prove in 2024. But sticking on your question at hand, absolutely. I think a couple of people are sleeping on him. Absolutely.
You know, we talked about Nick Saban there, and I kind of – as we're talking about this, I wonder, you know, the big thing about the Alabama-LSU rivalry, and that's always been a rivalry before Nick Saban was even at LSU, but it really went up to a 10th level when he went to Alabama, and just still the connection with him and LSU and in Alabama. Now that he's retired, do you think that rivalry is going to kind of simmer a little bit?
It's a really good question. Obviously, you know, there's a connection between Saban and LSU as well, like everybody knows in the world, but I think it's going to take some more time to rebuild it up again, because certainly the Saban aspect is what made it so fiery and passionate. And now you're going to have to kind of rebuild that in a way. But for the next couple of years, yeah, it could be one that's not necessarily this prominent rivalry that people are looking forward to. But I think you give it some more time and let Kalen DeBauer and that coaching staff get, you know, hot, ramp it up. I think it'll be back. It'll get back.
Yeah, it's still always going to be good. Because I still remember, you know, I'm old enough to remember before Saban was even at LSU. It was always intense. Before we jump into the spring practice, Jaden Daniels, of course, you know, coming out of the season, kind of went, okay, first round pick maybe, but as we've gone through the whole draft process, as we're here mid-March, he's very, very possible could be the number two pick taken by the Washington Commanders. I think everybody feels like Caleb Williams is going one to the Bears, especially if they decide to go quarterback. And it's been kind of interesting the last couple of days because Sam Howell's been traded away from the Commanders, and then you see Marcus Mariota gets picked up on a one-year contract. You know, a lot of NFL teams do like to have their backup quarterback be the same kind of style of quarterback as their starter in case there is an injury. It really looks like we could very well see Jaden Daniels go number two. You know, seeing his career at LSU and when he first got there, he looked like a one-read-and-run quarterback. He really developed as a passer, decision-making, and just his ability as a passer. What were the big things for you that you saw in the development of Jaden Daniels that now looks like he could be the second quarterback taken in the draft?
Right, and when you look at somebody like Jaden Daniels, you know, quarterbacks coach Joe Sloan out down here in Baton Rouge, obviously he's got promoted to co-offensive coordinator position. So when I look at the development of Jaden Daniels, I look at Joe Sloan as a huge, you know, impactful coach for him. I think Coach Sloan did a really good job at developing Jaden Daniels into an all-around quarterback, not just, you know, maybe like a one read and then tuck it and go type of guy. So we saw Jaden Daniels evolve in a huge way this season, whether it's his downfield passes or going through his progressions or everything, because, you know, at times he relied on his legs a little bit too much. The run game with LSU was weak, and he was a one-dimensional guy in that aspect. He kind of handled the rushing yards for this program. So looking forward to now, he's really come alive, and it's obviously, you know, he's the Heisman. He's the guy that had all eyes on him, but he developed in every aspect of the game, his intermediate throws, his long balls, going through his progressions, tucking it and sliding at times because there were times where he was getting popped and he wasn't willing to get down and slide. So there's been a massive evolution of Jaden Daniels, and like you hit on right here, you know, Sam Howell got traded today, and Jaden Daniels is a favorite to go number two now to the Washington Commanders. So just the overall growth that he's made on the field, off the field, he's been a leader. It's an attractive player. It's an attractive guy for other organizations. And now you could very well see him be the second quarterback taken off the board. But Jaden's a phenomenal all-around guy. He's a great leader. He's a great football player. He's evolving. I think the sky's the limit for him. So it's all situational for him. And I'd really like to see him go to Washington at two. But who knows what's going to happen come draft time.
You know, I really hope he does take off in the NFL, does a great job, because then I think it would be fun if we ever get that crossover matchup, AFC, NFC, Bengals versus the Commanders. I kind of throw it out there for the LSU fans. Let's find out who was the better LSU quarterback, because I know a lot of people say, well, Phil, what are you talking about? Joe Burrow won a championship. Well, we know the LSU defense last year. We're going to get in that a little bit. Was a really bugaboo, a deterrent for LSU last year, but it's just amazing. Like, within 5 years, you know, you landed these two transfer quarterbacks and what they were able to do. I mean, for LSU fans, that's just awesome knowing you have those two quarterbacks, Heisman Trophy quarterbacks, put up epically big numbers.
Well, man, you could honestly just sit back and just, you know, you saw Joe Burrow play and everybody was just kind of like, we'll never see something like that ever again. We'll never see somebody put numbers up like that again. And then, like you said, 4 or 5 years later down the line, and here we have Jaden Daniels just dominating every aspect of the game. So, yeah, it's crazy to have two Heisman winning quarterbacks in that short of a span. And Jaden Daniels is a phenomenal athlete, a phenomenal leader. Joe Burrow, phenomenal athlete, phenomenal leader. So it's certainly helping LSU on the recruiting trail as well. They obviously just landed the number one quarterback in America, Bryce Underwood, in the 2025 class. So I don't see LSU slowing down anytime soon offensively, and I certainly don't see them slowing down anytime soon at the quarterback position.
And I'll say this, of course, you know, I'm down here in Alabama. I will say this, if had he not got hurt against Alabama, I still think LSU could have won that football game. I'm just going to say that.
I was there watching it, and it was horrible to see. So I can work with that. I can work with that.
And Alabama fans know where to find me, P. Jordan, SEC. I'd love to talk to you if you want to argue with me about it. For the spring, what are some of the big storylines around this team that you've seen in the time, you know, what you've been able to see out of spring practice, and just, you know, your overall thoughts, the big storylines with this team?
It's all going to be all about the defense. I think you know what you're getting offensively. You're bringing Garrett Nussmeier in to take over the quarterback slot. Wide receivers, I mean, you have an embarrassment of riches right there, whether it's Kyron Lacy, Chris Hilton, Aaron Anderson. You brought in C.J. Daniels from Liberty as a 1,000-yard receiver. So not to mention sophomores, Kyle Parker, Shelton Sampson. So at the offensive spot, I mean, man, you're pretty much set right there. The only thing you're going to see over the next couple of months is LSU bring in a running back through the transfer portal because they're only working with two scholarship backs. So if I'm looking at some storylines with this team, offensively, only thing I'm sitting with is the running back position. you're working with two scholarship backs and Josh Williams and Caleb Jackson. You're going to have to go add a third scholarship back through the transfer portal. And then it's all about the defense. That's it. I mean, you look at this entire revamped staff. You bring in Corey Raymond to coach the secondary. You bring in Bo Davis to take over the defensive line. You have a new defensive coordinator in Blake Baker. So it's all about what this defense is going to do over the next couple of months, because spring is important, summer is important, and fall is important. Every single hurdle that you have to jump is all equally as important, because you have a fresh-faced coaching staff, and it's a matter of getting the click. So position-wise, the defensive line is going to be a spot that gets a lot of, you know, headlines, a lot of quote-unquote controversy, because you lose Mason Smith and Makai Wingo, your two interior defensive linemen, and you're going to have to try to find some people to pick up the weight right there. And that's why you bring in Bo Davis, a guy who's an elite-level recruiter, an elite-level player development guy. And so now you kind of just watch to see how it rolls. But in the transfer portal, you're going to see LSU go out and add two, maybe three defensive linemen, as well as add a running back. So it's all about making the defense work. And, you know, everybody wants to sit here and talk about Harold Perkins moving back to inside linebacker and work with that. And obviously that's a storyline in itself. But, man, that first level of the defense at the defensive line is super key here. So that's what I'm harping on over the next couple of months, to see what they can do in that aspect.
And all those guys you mentioned too, that they bring in, have LSU connections. Obviously, I mean, Corey Raymond, that had to be such a popular hire within the LSU fan base, because that was a guy, you know, DBU. I mean, that's, you attached LSU. It was like LSU and Ohio State at one time. It was like they were arguing back and forth who was DBU, and that's obviously taking a hit. I mean, I'll get into Blake Baker in a second, but just how big is bringing in Corey Raymond to kind of fix that side? Because like we said, LSU was the second worst defense in the SEC last year, and pass defense was a big part of it. That hire, what do you see? How can he bring back DBU?
Obviously, Corey Raymond's the architect to DBU. He was one of the architects that built that here in Baton Rouge. And you go out and you bring him back is tremendous. And look, the defense struggled last season. And a lot of people could sit here and say that the talent level might not have been there. Certainly, there were some coaching decisions, you know, on the field that were interesting to a way with Matt House. I'm not going to sit here and, you know, rag on Matt House by any means necessary. But there were certainly some questionable decisions made by that coaching staff. So sticking on your sole question of Corey Raymond, it's huge. He's an elite level recruiter. He goes in and he gets the best talent. He brings him to the boot. He does everything that he can. So, you know, I sat here and talked about Harold Perkins and the defensive line. Let's talk about the third layer of the defense, and that's going to be your secondary. So Corey Raymond's in charge of that group. You brought in Jake Olson to take over the safeties as well. So again, a revamped spot right there. And you bring in two guys like Ashton Stamps and Javian Toviano, who played significant snaps as true freshmen. They have some experience under their belt. And now you expect them to take that next jump as sophomores. And to what your question says, man, I think Corey Raymond's going to play a major, major role in that, because like it's a fan favorite. It's what a lot of people were hoping for. So now it's all about seeing if it can all click and piece it together.
Now, I said 13th in defense in the SEC. That's an interesting number to me, because when I was doing my research. So the year before, in 2021, before Baker got to Missouri as defensive coordinator, they were 13th in the SEC in total defense. LSU. Now he got on. Missouri was fourth the last 2 years in defense. But look, I'll say Missouri, that was a great job by Drinkwitz and that whole staff. But let's, you know, I'm going to be honest. We all know there's more talent at LSU than Missouri. It's just the way it is. So now you look at just if he could just produce, if you get this team to, and we'll get in offense in a second, you get this team to fourth in the SEC in defense. I mean, look out. You know, we just, the news on Thursday with the, of course, when the 12 team playoff is coming this upcoming season, then we go into 14 in 2026. You get that with LSU on defense combined with what you mentioned, what they will have offense, this playoff team.
Look, I and I'm on the exact same page as that. And I don't want to harp on the past in the 2023 season, but me and a bunch of people within the media were sitting here talking about, like, look, they were 100 and something, the 100 whatever ranked defense in college football. Man, if you put them like 60th, 50, low 50s, whatever it is, look, that's a title contending team. So you're not going to have any nerves when it comes to this team offensively. It's all about the defense, like you said, and it's going to be a hefty turnaround for Blake Baker, but I believe in him, and I think that whatever he does is going to be in the best interest of the team, and I'm excited to see the steps that they take over the next couple of months leading up to Labor Day weekend against USC in Vegas.
That's going to be fun when we get to that. I have one of my best friends is actually, he's an LSU fan. And I told him, I think I told him a lot last year. And I told other people I know that are LSU fans too. I said, I feel like LSU had a 12-0 offense and a 6-6 defense. So, and you cut the difference. I mean, and that was a record. But Blake Baker, and we talked about Harold Perkins. I mean, I think you see a lot of, not just LSU fans, just national media. Okay. Why don't they have him more like they did his freshman year? at the line as a pass rusher. And of course, Brian Kelly said he is going to be on the inside again this year. How do you see him fitting in with Baker's defense?
My best way to break it down to you without providing a monologue would really be if you look at the proofs in the product. Blake Baker did a phenomenal job with Damone Clark. He developed him into a Butkus finalist, you know, linebacker. And I think truly that if Blake Baker believes that this is going to be where he gets his bread and butter at the inside linebacker position, certainly he's a Swiss Army knife. He's going to move around. He's not going to be – it's not going to be every snap sitting there at the inside linebacker position. But I really do believe that Blake Baker can allow Harold Perkins to evolve into this Butkus finalist award type of guy because he did it with Damone Clark. And like I said, the best way that I could do it is say that the proof's in the product and Baker's done it before. And now you have just a freak athlete in Harold Perkins. So the sky's the limit for what he can do at that level.
So let's flip over to offense. And you mentioned this offense, had the receivers are there. You know, talent's there. Of course, you're replacing Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas at receiver. And we saw in a bowl game with Garrett Nussmeier was able to do 31-45 for 395 against Wisconsin, three touchdowns, one interception. You talk about and we see Brian Kelly talk about the offense obviously is going to be different. With him at quarterback and Jay Daniels. I mean, I don't foresee Garrett Nussmeier rushing for 1,000 yards in a season. Maybe proves us wrong, and he does. I don't know. I highly doubt it. But what does this offense look like with Garrett Nussmeier, in your opinion?
Garrett Nussmeier is the type of guy where, you know, you call him a gunslinger, and he takes that to heart because he doesn't want to be labeled as that type of quarterback. But at the end of the day, that's what he is. He's not scared to launch the ball deep. He's not scared to throw it in the tight windows. He doesn't play scared. He doesn't play timid. He's a confident player who is willing to – really lay it all on the line for his team. And we've seen that time and time again. So what I look forward to Garrett Nussmeier this season is really just pushing the ball vertically. We saw Jaden Daniels take strides in the right direction this season and become one of the more accurate vertical, you know, pass throwers in all of college football. So now you insert somebody like Garrett Nussmeier, who's taking strides in the right direction alongside quarterbacks coach Joe Sloan. The two of them fit like two peas in a pod. And I feel like over the next couple of months, it's really just going to allow Garrett Nussmeier to take that next step as he continues taking sole first team reps. So look, man, I'm intrigued to see what Garrett Nussmeier can do. I believe that he has the vertical threats to be an impactful quarterback for LSU. Certainly, you know, Jaden Daniels, your Heisman winner, it was really just effortless watching him play football. So there's going to be some learning curves over the first few games, but Garrett Nussmeier is not scared to throw that ball down the field. He's very confident. He's very impressive at the line of scrimmage. He can check. He can do whatever you need him to do there. Pre-snap is where I've been very impressed with Garrett Nussmeier. So, you know, you're going to get a good taste of that against USC on September 1st, September 4th, whatever it is. And it's going to be an extremely, extremely fun offense to watch because he has all the weapons in the world to be successful.
Yeah, you know, you talk about one of the receivers talk about was Kyron Lacy. 24 catches last year, 463, 7 touchdowns, and he flashed a lot in the spring. I remember last year coming out of the spring game, I had Matt Moscona on the show, and we talked about him a lot after the spring and just the performance he had there. Consistently, I guess that would be something you want to look with Lacy, but can you see him really taking that step and being that guy, replacing Nabers and replacing Thomas at receiver?
I'm going to kind of piggyback off of what you said because you hit the nail on the head right there with him being consistent. There were drop issues. There were things that were very unimpressive from him, but he's had a really good, you know, offseason to this point. Although it's only March, he's had a pretty impressive offseason to this point. So I really do believe that as he continues to become more consistent and get more reps with Garrett Nussmeier, the sky's the limit for somebody like Kyron Lacy. A guy that we're really excited to see is Chris Hilton Jr. This is a player who's battled injuries time and time again. And when he's healthy, he's one of the fastest wide receivers in the country. And if you get him the ball in space, I mean, he's gone in the blink of an eye. So I'm really intrigued to see what Kyron Lacy can do, but I'm also really excited to see what Chris Hilton can do as well because he's a super talented receiver, a Louisiana guy. So I want to see if he can take that next step. So those are kind of your two guys that, you know, a lot of people are putting some hype around. And then Liberty transfer CJ Daniels is going to be your other, hopefully, third starter as your receiver. So there's a lot of hype surrounding this wide receiver unit. But to what you were saying, absolutely, man, I think Kyron Lacy can take that next step and fill the role that this team needs as a wide receiver one.
Yeah, I remember Chris Hilton. He made some plays in a bowl game too. And I remember I was watching that game intently and closely. And I was like, okay, this is a guy. I mean, yeah. It's one game, and we all say bowl games don't matter. But look, those were important reps and plays for him to have, especially, you know, with the receiver situation with the bowl game, how it went. And, yeah, I was like, this is a guy. He has the looks of an NFL wide receiver.
He's a speedster, and I truly believe that if you can get him the ball in open space, And even last spring, even throughout the offseason, we've seen Garrett Nussmeier and Chris Hilton connect with that second team. Just deep ball after deep ball after deep ball. You utilize Chris Hilton's speed, and Garrett Nussmeier is not scared to throw the ball deep. So it could really be a match made in heaven. I'm extremely excited to see how it works out.
I kind of wonder, will there be moments next season where Garrett Nussmeier makes Brian Kelly want to pull his hair out, or what, you know, what he has left of hair in the offense staff? Because, you know, Jaden Daniels at time, I think, had the knock of being safe at times with the ball. Well, you're getting the opposite of Garrett Nussmeier with that. He's, like you said, he's a gunslinger. So they were going to test. He may age Brian Kelly a little bit this next year.
Oh, without a doubt, man. And something that, you know, we would talk about with Coach Kelly was the fact that Jaden Daniels might have only had less than a handful of interceptions on the year, but that was solely because he wasn't throwing the ball into those tight windows. He wasn't taking risks. And obviously with a quarterback, you want to be safe with the ball, and you want to, you know, not turn the ball over. But sometimes you want to see some risks be taken. You want to see him try to, you know, thread the needle. And that was something in year one with Jaden that was kind of a concern. And then fast forward to year two, and he was certainly willing to throw the ball deep and throw it into some tight windows. So look, now you got Garrett Nussmeier coming, and he is not scared to make those tight window throws. So it's certainly a different approach from a quarterback, but one that a lot of people are extremely excited to watch.
You know, you talked about early in this conversation about the transfer portal after spring, that LSU would need to go after a running back. You know, they need some depth there. You only got two guys there. Is there any other positions? And look, this is a hard question to answer, I know, because you don't know what's going to happen during the spring, who's going to hit the portal on the roster now and all this stuff. But if you just look at how the roster is constructed right now, are there any other needs you think they need to address in the transfer portal after the spring?
You went out and you got a receiver in CJ Daniels. Your offensive line is extremely deep. It's all about that defensive line. You have to go get two or three more guys while also going out and adding a running back. Right now at this exact moment in time, LSU's over the scholarship count. They have 86, maybe 87 players on scholarship right now. You have to get at 85 or below by August. So they're going to be balancing the scholarship count as well as looking to try to add talent. So it's going to be a tough thing to manage right there. But no, if I'm looking at anything to add through the transfer portal during the spring window, it's going to be one running back and at least two, maybe three defensive linemen. Other position groups that may bring some concern is always going to be the defensive backs, just because of how, you know, horrible they were last year. So you're going to have to go out this offseason and try to maybe add one more cornerback, maybe one more safety with experience. But you already did that with Jarden Gilbert from Texas A&M at the safety position. So it's really about managing that scholarship count while also trying to add one, two, three defensive linemen as well as a running back. Kind of repeating myself over and over again to try to instill the fact that you have to go get defensive linemen and a running back.
Yeah, because a big chunk of your running game last year was your quarterback. So you got to find it. You got to find it somewhere else. So it's going to be interesting. The spring game is on the 13th of April. So that will be a fun one to check out and see what's going to go on with LSU. And Zach, I appreciate you coming on the show and talking all things LSU football. It was a lot of fun chatting it up with you. I think we could probably go another 20 minutes on LSU. There's so much to talk about. But if the listeners and viewers want to check out, where can they find you on the work you're doing?
Yeah, of course, man. On Twitter, it's at ZNagy20 is my handle. You can go and find – that's my personal account. And then you can go find the LSU Country page at LSU Country FN on Twitter as well. We're all over the place, man, covering LSU football, baseball, basketball, recruiting. You name it in the purple and gold, and LSU Country's covering it. So check us out, see what we're doing over there, because we're pumping out content daily. So it's a busy season, like you were saying beforehand, but we're ready and knocking out as much content as we can. And, of course, man, I appreciate you for having me on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Again, appreciate the time, and look forward to doing this again sometime down the road.
Absolutely. Let's do it.
All right. Now I'm going to take a quick 1 minute timeout to let you guys know about some stuff going on over here at Digital Strategies, all the different content you can check out over here. And when we return, I'll look at some headlines after this past couple of days here on the Phil Jordan Show.
96.9, The Legend is your connection to classic country legend. But Digio Strategies has other options too. News Talk 103.9 is your source for America's top news and entertainment shows, like Rick and Bubba in the morning, Glenn Beck from 9 till 11 a.m., and Clay Travis and Buck Sexton middays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m. Sean Hannity, Lars Larson, Ben Shapiro, Matt Walsh, and others fill your day with the latest news and views from America's top conservative voices. America at Night and Coast to Coast AM keep you company and connected throughout the night. Plus, Fox News, the Alabama Radio Network, and Wiregrass Daily News keep you informed with national, international, state, and local news. And with more musical choices like All the Hits, 106.7 KMX. Today's Country 95.5 WTVY and Music 107.7. Digio Strategies gives you more choices and more variety. Listen on air, online, and on our apps. 96.9 The Legend is just the beginning.
All right, a couple things before we get out of here on today's show. Once again, thanks to Zach Nagy for coming on. A lot of fun talking all things LSU with him today. You know, on Monday's show, I had an interview with Troy head coach Jared Parker, and we talked about the receivers there. I'm going to replay our clip talking about the Troy receivers and then jump to some sad news from this past week regarding one of those receivers. You know, of course, over quarterback, think the receivers, and of course, position you played yourself. You've coached receivers and tight ends also in previous stops. Just wide receiver Chris Lewis. And every time I turned on the game for Troy last year, it seemed like he was making a one-handed catch, a big play. He had 10 touchdowns last year. Devontae Ross, the same way. I mean, it felt like he was making a big play every time, every game you turn on Troy game. Just talk about your receivers a little bit, what you see with that grouping.
Well, I've been very charged watching them work out and prepare for spring. It's a gifted room, a room that can run. Those names mentioned are certainly guys that highlight it, but there's some guys that are going to be surprising this spring that I think are really going to take some big steps. We just, you know, Coach Banks done a great job preparing him to this point, and keeping him here has allowed us to have some feelings of at least knowing that room a little bit better, where they haven't had to start over, so to speak. I'm really excited to see them all compete. I think we should have high expectations of the room, and we will. It's certainly just going to be a chance for them to go out and take another step, and we want to empower them to continue to improve and get there.
So, obviously, the first receiver I mentioned there was Chris Lewis, 735 yards last season, 10 touchdowns. Well, on Tuesday, a story came out on ESPN with or by Pete Thamel, talking about Chris Lewis, that he had been in the offseason diagnosed with a mass behind his left knee as an aggressive malignant bone tumor in his left femur. He talked about in the article that this happened. He was diagnosed, like I said, after season, but before the Birmingham Bowl, he still played in it. Doctors didn't believe there was any risk, any danger, anything like that. He said the tumor was not attached to the bone, but he has also set up a GoFundMe to help with expenses, medical expenses, wanted to raise up to $150,000. And he is going through a 10-week chemotherapy treatment to decrease the likelihood of cancer spreading and shrink the tumor. And Chris Lewis is going to say, if I can play, I'm playing. So I just want to say this. I hope everything goes well. We'll pray. Everybody needs to pray for Chris Lewis through this time. Tremendous athlete, tremendous player, tremendous person from everything I have ever read and seen people say about Chris Lewis there at Troy. And that we will get to see him on the football field and for many, many years. And this issue is taken care of. Then on Thursday, we had a 14-team playoff coming. Look, no easy transition here. Just going to do it. But ESPN reported that the 14-team playoff is coming. We all thought this. We all believe this. That is in the process of being finalized. Look, I just think it's a big money grab. I don't really think they're really looking out for the interest of finding the best team in college football. We haven't even played a 12-team playoff, and we're already getting the 14. So I think there's a big money grab going on here with college football. And then basketball-wise, I'm going to let you guys know this. I am recording this while Florida and Georgia are at halftime. So don't know who Alabama's playing on Friday as of me recording this. But on Friday in the quarterfinals, Mississippi State will play Tennessee. That'll be at 12 o'clock on ESPN. South Carolina will play Auburn. You know, me and Taylor Jones talked about that on Wednesday on the show. South Carolina, Auburn, that's the matchup we're getting. 2:30 ESPN. Texas A&M, they beat Ole Miss on Thursday night. They will play Kentucky. So expect the arena to turn into Little Hot Lexington. But that'll be 6 o'clock on SEC Network. And Georgia or Florida will play Alabama at 8:30 on the SEC Network. And that's going to do it for today's show. I may just do one episode next week. But next week, I also plan on getting into – I already got a guest lined up. But I also plan on getting into some recent comments. People have sent me on Facebook and also on YouTube. And I say I'm going to read them, and I haven't got to them yet. But we will get to those next week as well. So – Be prepared for that and some other great content here on the Philip Jordan Show. Remember, you can follow me on social media at PJordanSEC. The podcast is available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. For Apple Podcasts, please follow, rate, and review. If you leave a review, I will read it on a future edition of the show. And if you leave just 4 stars, you are just a straight-up hater. You can check out all my written work over at Last Word on College Football. You can email me at sports.philipjordan@gmail.com. I hope everybody has a great weekend. We'll have brackets next week, March Madness. So it's going to be fun, and we'll get into some more spring football talk as well. Anyways, until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to The Philip Jordan Show. Subscribe to the audio podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can watch the show over at the Philip Jordan Media YouTube channel. Got a question or topic idea? Email the show at sportstalkphilipjordan@gmail.com. Join us next time for more great football talk.